Welcome to Soul Busy. I'm Rach.
And I'm Carly,
your CEO
and COO
sisters. We share unfiltered convo on balancing hustle with mindfulness
while running successful businesses with soul
and the real life between it all. All right, FOMO versus JOMO.
Oh my God, JOMO has Joe in it.
JMO is what we used to call Julie in high school.
I don't think I ever used to use the word JOMO. FOMO was
I definitely think that was like a new thing on my feed this year. I feel like that just started popping up.
Yeah.
People are catching on to the joy of missing out. So if you're catching up here, it's fear of missing out, joy of missing out.
Yeah. And I do have a little bit of a theory that there's like one in between that needs to be made.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't know the name of it, but like, I feel like
SOMO, sometimes I care.
Yeah. Like, I think there has to be a happy medium.
I feel like that's the point of the podcast. Like, it's like black or white. Like, what the contrast of it all? You know what I mean?
No, I'm not saying there's a happy medium to like missing out or like the joy of missing out, but it, like, sometimes you want to go.
Right. So then you go.
But like, I'm not fearful of not going, but sometimes you just want to go.
Well, yeah, I think those are the times you just go.
But what's that called? You're just going?
I'm coming to the party.
Do you get what I'm saying though? Now that I say it out loud, you're laughing.
No, I just don't think it's in this category. I think the category is, do you have fear of missing out or do you have joy of missing out? I get what you're saying.
The reason that I'm saying that though is because I suffered from JOMO hard, suffered from FOMO hard. And then I suffered from like wanting to go eventually. You know what I mean? Like there was two extremes.
Yeah, I guess like I understand.
Do you know
that.
What I mean?
That's like more it's of like, a college thing for me.
But college thing for me was like FOMO. It was like, I have to go.
Oh yeah. I mean, I can definitely tell you about some times in college I had FOMO. Let's see. You know what? Here's what I was thinking about. I'm not overly prepared for this episode. I'm just kind of like going on the fly.
As we shall.
On this topic, which I'm excited about.
We're on the fly, guy.
All right. So I was thinking about what does it mean to be soul busy, right? Mm-hmm. In a way, what soul busy means is sacrifice. Soul busy means that there's things you're replacing your time with that allow you to refuel, feel passionate, feel like you're saying no to something that maybe doesn't align with your energy right now. It kind of does equate to sacrifice in order to balance mindfulness and hustle.
Yeah.
Something will have to give. So for me, that I was starting to think about that because there was a listener who tagged us in her caption and she was like, I can't talk right now. I'm soul busy. And the whole piece of content was essentially her like taking a bath and doing self-care routines and going to appointments. And what's funny about that is she was soul busy because she wasn't doing something else.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? True.
But like, she also realized what she was doing was bettering herself in that moment.
Exactly.
And like, sometimes you don't realize that. Like, last week we had our mom on the podcast and she was talking about how
our mom,
she was talking about how like manicures and pedicures and
oh yeah, never miss one.
Like a random appointment for a massage that you like didn't plan, but like ended
rock
up
on.
Doing. You rock on.
If you guys don't know that reference, we're going to start to use it. And in case you're wondering if you'd like to catch up on episode one of Soul Busy coming out, the quick episode, Carly randomly interrupts me and goes,
rock on.
And yeah, it's lived rent-free in our head ever since. So
shut up.
Rock on.
But I was thinking, she made me think a lot about how like those little things that you do for yourself are taking care of your soul. And
100%.
Because like you think about, oh, nail appointment, I have this thing I have to go to. Like it's kind of routine. But those little moments that you have taking self-care moments for yourself are so important.
I don't miss a blow. I don't miss a blow. I don't miss a mani. I don't miss a pedi. That you would have to be extreme circumstances to make me miss it. Like even in COVID,
yeah,
when I couldn't do my nails, I went to CVS and I literally gave myself little manis and made it fun. It's just that self-care does equate to soul busy and does equate to the FOMO versus JOMO for me. I think a lot of people like responded to Lorne's post today on social media where she was asking, what's your vibe on FOMO versus JOMO? And I think people were asking like, how do you not have FOMO, right? Like that's a hard-hitting question for me to answer for you because I've definitely had FOMO in the past.
Yeah. Let's talk about times where we've had that.
Cool. I can start that off. Sure. If you'd want. Sure.
You go.
So when I was ripped out of my environment in New York City and with all my best friends in the world living in the house of my dreams on Lenox Avenue, all 12 of us, and we literally were having, I would say, the best night every night, the best day every day, like the best times ever.
It's horrible. And those were the best times.
The best times. And I was obsessed with my friends. We like were so in love with each other, still are. And, you know, in the prime of having fun. And dad calls me and goes, hey, I need you to move home to be with mom and drop out of college.
The sucky part about that type of FOMO is that that was out of your control.
It was, I mean, it maybe had trained me a little bit to be okay with it. But I will tell you the pain I felt in my chest watching my friends continue their relationships, going out together, going to the bars we liked, going to New York City together, making new friends together that I still don't know who they're talking about sometimes. It pained my heart in a way I can't explain.
It's horrible.
It was painful FOMO.
I can't even relate because like literally when I would have to go home for someone's birthday and all my friends went out and we were in college and it was like a Thursday or Friday, I hated that feeling. So from the scale of you being ripped away and couldn't really go out of your control, that's not a fun time.
It wasn't fun.
It's not a fun time.
I think it just hit hard, but also what happened was is things started to cultivate for me by not being there, right? So the sacrifice of that moment. My friends were in school, you know, they're all really successful, amazing at what they do in their careers. But by that sacrifice, I was sent to focus, you know, and focus on my self-care and focus on my well-being. And so in a way, it sort of forced me into enjoying being away.
Yeah.
I tried at first to keep up. I would go to New York City every weekend.
It's too much, honestly. And
I couldn't keep up with it.
It's funny about the word sacrifice, because I think sometimes when you hear the word sacrifice, there's a negative connotation around it where it's like you have to sacrifice something.
Giving something up to get
something else. But that's not how I physically look at. I think sacrifice is soul busy. I think sacrifice, there can be moments where you have to sacrifice for FOMO, but there's also times where you're giving up something, which I think this is where JOMO comes in, to gain something.
Right.
You know?
Well, I interpret what you're saying as almost like a, you know, one of those legal balances is what I picture in my mind. It's like FOMO's on one side, JOMO's on the other, and you have to kind of weigh out. I don't think it's always the same. Yeah. I don't always have JOMO. I don't always have FOMO. It's just depending on the moment, I'm able to actually take a step back and analyze, will this activity that I'm being invited to serve me?
Yeah.
Will it drain me? Because that's the other thing too. Social situations for me are usually, I would say 98% no.
Yeah.
98% no. I can lead with knowing that I will not attend most events that I'm invited to.
It's so funny. I think there's so many stages of FOMO. Like JOMO was old, like new for me. Like when I turned, you know, maybe like 26 to now 30, turning 31. I don't think I ever knew JOMO existed. I know that was like a new phenomenon. I think we were just talking about when that was like this year.
Yeah.
There were stages of FOMO. I think I was just telling Lauren this, that like FOMO when I was in college in high school is way different for me than FOMO now. And that's what I was trying to like touch on previously, is like there were times where I would have FOMO, and that word fear attached to it is like huge, because I'm like, what am I scared of?
Well, to not go. I think some people have really deep rooted insecurities, right? Yeah. And so like they think about a friend group or a set of individuals getting together that they're not included in. And I think one thing that could probably spurt some FOMO is like, are they talking about me?
Yeah. Well, that was definitely something I felt. Like I'd be like, oh, if I don't go, then everyone's going to be sitting there like talking about me. If I do go, then I'm like safe.
Right.
And that's a horrible feeling. That's a horrible feeling.
And sometimes in those social situations when you're not like really supposed to be there and you're not in the right way, you say something like you didn't mean to say. And like, then that feels shitty too.
100%. People, what do they say? Like when you go out drinking with your friends, you have like alcohol anxiety, then hangover anxiety.
Remorse.
That's horrible.
Like hangover remorse or something.
I think the girls and I downstairs had a conversation about that one time, like going out together and you're like,
downstairs is parlor.
Just so you guys know. I always say downstairs, but we were we were talking about like going out and then you wake up the next day and you're like, what did I say? Did I say this?
Right. Like analyzing how something
and that's
came
horrible.
Out. That's how was it interpreted?
That's where I get joy of missing out.
I actually truthfully. Prefer the feeling of not want. That's why I don't really love alcohol. Like yeah. I'll have a glass of wine with a big fat bowl of creamy Parmesan garlic Alfredo pasta. Mm. Love that. But mm. like, I don't really need alcohol in the sense where I don't need to alter my mind to have fun.
Yeah.
I think sometimes for me, I get joy of missing out too. Cause sometimes I don't relate to people. And I yeah. definitely think I'm weird in, and maybe that's just in my head. I don't know, but like things I like to prioritize or do, like, I don't know if people want to talk about the things I want to talk about.
No, totally. But it's also too, like you could even want to hang out with your best friends in the entire world and still not want to go. For me, it's not necessarily who it is that I'm hanging out with. It's more just like, do I want to hang out with anybody?
Yeah. But I think that that's also a sense of security you're saying. Cause like, you know, I have a friend group and when certain people get together in that friend group, like I genuinely feel a sense of happiness yeah. for them. Cause I know what they're feeling sitting around the table and I know they're like excited, but that also comes with adulthood, knowing I'm not being spoken about at that table.
Right.
I don't question it.
Well, that's what I was saying to you is like, there was definitely stages of FOMO for me. And then there was a point where I was like, you know what? Here, like clicking on the JOMO here, I would say from I think maybe I lived in Southie and me and Joe started dating. I think boyfriends
help.
Unfortunately help in those moments.
Partners.
It's like when you go from college to out of college, then you, that little lull in between, I think it was like what, 24 to 27, me and Joe started dating.
Specifically only that age range.
Well, no, because well, when do you graduate college? 20, yeah, okay.
I don't know. I didn't graduate.
Okay, cool. Beauty school dropout.
I didn't even go to beauty school.
LOL.
Couldn't afford it.
Loser. Kidding. 22. Aren't you just grateful for where you are now? You're so busy.
Wouldn't change it.
You're so busy. But I was saying that point where I started dating Joe and I knew it was a very secure, healthy relationship. Like I had JOMO because I was like, I want to.
That is.
It's
she
weird.
JOMO.
It's JOMO. Because I was like, I want to go out to dinner with him. I want to hang out with him. I want to do whatever he's doing. There's just a point where I think what you kind of grow up and you slow down a little bit.
Oh yeah. I relate to that. Cause like there was a point in time where I switched where I was like, I want to watch Mike breathe.
100%.
Like, and I'm like, I want to just, and he's like, can you like give me space? Like, I come from a home where we had 5 children. I never had personal space. So for me, he doesn't understand. He's like, how could you want to be around people so often?
I know. That's so funny. Cause he wasn't used to that.
In my home.
Yeah.
That's
no,
how
I
feel. Like yeah. I want people in my mom's like, you're like, can I come over? I like when you come over.
Sometimes.
Well, not at night work. After work on the weekends, I like when you come over.
All right, cool.
Anywho, I don't like to commit is the thing.
Yeah. And I love, there's that, it goes, people send it to me all the time. It's like, I just want to be invited, but I'm not coming.
I want to be invited. 100%.
I'm never coming.
I'm never going to come. I think the thing is this too, right? So if you look from the plane at all the invitations you get, like to go different, you know, hopefully you're getting some invitations.
if you're not getting invitations, go fuck yourself.
If you're not getting invitations, when you think about all the different things you could commit to, right? I don't know how I'm spiritually, emotionally, and energetically going to feel the day I need to go to my commitment.
That is where you hit it. If it's not something I have to go to, where it's like someone's wedding, someone's birthday, something like that.
Right, of course I say yes to those things.
You have to go to those things, those routine things. People show up for you. You want to show up for them and yeah. that's great.
Yeah, I'm courteous.
You're a courteous little lady.
Yeah.
But if it's like a dinner that's a just because and I like you, I want to say yes, but I also want to be able to cancel and you not hate me.
Like wait, that's a prerequisite to be in my life.
100%. Like you have to be okay with that. That is why me and Gabby get along so well, who's my best friend since high school.
Yeah.
We literally have dinner plans for her birthday this Saturday. We just canceled.
You can't take
and
offense.
I am
you just
literally the happiest person that has ever existed.
Okay, so maybe step one in FOMO versus JOMO is like your friends. Do you know what I mean? Because like if you're questioning like, do I have good friends? Are they talking about me? Or like could I cancel on them? And if the answer is no to any of those things, then step one for you is tell them all to go fuck themselves.
Pick up on the reason of why the fear, like that F.
Right. Let's
part of the FOMO.
Unpeel the layers of the onion,
Kylie. Unpeel the banana.
What's that Shrek? The Shrek quote. He's like, I'm like an onion.
I got layers.
I got layers. That's the quote. That's the end of the quote.
No, but
in the morning, I'm making waffles.
I actually have been thinking about Belgian waffles lately.
Oh, I make them every morning.
What?
Yeah, I do.
What do you mean?
I make Mickey Mouse Belgian waffles.
Oh, but those don't count. Like I'm saying, like Why? The ones with the crevices.
They have crevices.
Oh, do you make them for yourself?
Yeah, on some days when I'm not fasting, I do.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to like tell you.
I really agree with the statement of unpeeling the core issue of why you're feeling FOMO.
FOMO comes from an insecurity, and I've felt that feeling, and I still have.
Fear equals insecurity, 100%. All the same shit.
And it's like, there was a time though where me and Joe were really solid, and we bought our house and moved into our house, and we lived a little bit farther away from other people, where like I used to live in Southie and all my friends lived in Southie, and you could literally call and be like, want to meet up for a coffee, or like you had people around you. When we moved away, there was like feelings of loneliness sometimes because Joe works really weird hours. So there will be times where like on the weekends, I have no one to hang out with, which I do love. But there's also times like knowing you have someone to hang out with is also nice.
Well, yeah, that's a unique situation as well.
No, and I'm sure other people can relate to like, you know, significant other, like nurses have that issue.
Right, overnights. Like,
which where your schedule is not like 9 to 5, Monday through
right,
Friday.
Like you don't want to be alone.
Right. You want the option. Like, I want to know I could call someone and be like, want to go to dinner with me and not feel like alone in my home by myself with my dogs. But right. Then other times I'm like, I literally want to be alone in my home with my dogs watching Love is Blind.
Soul busy.
So this badly.
Is soul busy. You're so busy, but you're doing things that fuel your soul.
And
you're picking. That's what you're
like,
doing.
It's like a balancing beam. Like
it's a selection process.
And that's where I think it's sacrifice. It's balance. It's making sure you're asking yourself, do you really want to go?
Right.
Like there's times I'll commit to plans and I'll go into my closet and I feel like I'm getting my period and I'm bloaty and I'm disgusting. I can't find an outfit. I don't do my hair. I'm greasy. I don't want to do my makeup. And I'm like, not going.
Right.
Not going. Yeah. And I just don't go. And then I just get into bed and I'm like,
not going,
not going.
Yeah.
But 100%. I think there's just different stages of it. And like, then I'll also on the flip side, I'll force myself to go. There were a lot of people at my wedding this year that like, I didn't lose, they will always be my friends, but I lost touch with them because I was not going. And there was too much joy of missing out. I was on the spectrum of like never going.
Well, you're exploring. You know? You're trying to find where you fall on the line. I think that that's normal.
And then I would hang out with my high school friends and be like, I would call mom and be like, I literally live for these girls. Why didn't I hang out with them more? And like, yeah, why did I say no? And like, I love them. They're like,
you also felt more secure with yourself.
They're my people. Like they all came to my wedding. They're so cute and adorable. They let me cancel whenever I want. Like they're wonderful and I'm obsessed with them. And it's just funny. And I really go back to my high school friends a lot because I always feel like they let you be yourself because they grew up with you.
Yeah, because you were your rawest, most hideous self.
I was, but
no, not you. All of us were our rawest, most hideous self.
Okay, yeah, just me. but yeah, so I really go back to the stages when you really analyze it and unfold it. There's so many stages of FOMO and so many stages of JOMO that I could.
I agree. One thing that popped into my mind when you were talking is, I think one of my keys to success is how often I say no. Right? Like the topic that needs to be talked about here is boundaries and saying no to things.
Totally.
Because saying no is a superpower. It is very difficult. I think there's a lot of people pleasers out there who have trouble with the act of saying no, you know, and they don't want to disappoint somebody else. So sometimes I think it's also FOMO of that, you know, 100%. Like I don't want to make someone sad that I'm not coming. You have to also be selfish, I think, to enjoy JOMO. And I think for me, one thing I was thinking about is my weekends.
Yeah.
And here's the problem with a weekend if you have FOMO and you want to live at your highest self, inside your purpose, feeling your state of flow, you will need to say no to a majority of things and you will need to fill the time with self-care. There's a series of events that I could say yes to on any given weekend, right? Like want to meet up and do X. Could you meet me to get coffee so I can pick your brain about this? Could you come to this birthday party? Are you available to meet up for drinks and dinner? Can I come over? You know, whatever the activity is. The problem is if you're a people pleaser and you say yes to the series of events, then there is no time embedded in the middle of all of that for replenishment, rejuvenation, and coming back to life to fill your cup back up.
Yeah.
So then you're at a low level of energy and then you go into your Monday. Let's say there's alcohol involved there.
100%.
So you go into your Monday and you never replenished. You didn't put yourself first. You weren't selfish. I have no sympathy for the people that are only sick on weekdays.
That
you're sick on a fucking weekday because you didn't take care of yourself on a weekend.
I was just going to say that literally pushes my button, or I don't know, whatever the word is that pisses
it's a pet peeve.
Pisses me off. Because if you have the audacity to go out all weekend and be like, you know what, I'm going to rage, I'm going to do all these things, I'm going to empty my cup, and then Monday comes or Tuesday comes or whatever day you start work comes and you're like not feeling good because you didn't prioritize yourself, then like what are your priorities?
Well, that's the other thing too. It's like accountability is a part of this, because we sit at the top, right? Of like, you know, whatever, left, right, top, but there's a certain level of accountability that comes with leadership. And in order for me to be seen as a leader that somebody can be look up to or, you know, follow, I need to hold myself to the highest standard of possibility. So that means I'm not going out on the weekend, getting drunk and being, you know, silly and stupid. I'm focused on myself so that Monday morning I can show up for everybody else. That's a certain level of responsibility you need to commit to.
And there's nothing wrong with doing that.
No, I'm not saying don't have fun.
No, I know. I'm definitely not thinking you're saying that, but there's nothing wrong with that. But like, if it's affecting your health, if it's affecting your mental state, your work ethic, or showing up to things that you need to show up to, then you really need to I always say that to my friends. If they're coming to me for advice, I'm like, reevaluate what you're spending your time on.
But it's the only thing that matters.
I would rather be a couch potato the entire weekend and wake up Monday morning refreshed than say yes to all of these things and feel like my tank is empty.
I agree. I like to time block my fun. Now, my situation's a bit unique.
I like to time block my fun.
My situation's unique because all of my friends mainly, like at 98%, live in New York.
You like to time block your fun because of that, but there's also times you're not time blocking your fun, which I think is special, where you still are having fun, but in your way.
Absolutely.
You know?
100%.
Like, fun to everybody is absolutely going to be completely different.
If you're asking me, on a Sunday, do I want to meet somebody for brunch and sit there and chit chat and small talk and exert my energy and soak in their energy and drain myself, or take a really long bathtub after smoking two hits of a joint with bubbles that come from Ecuador and fucking Palo Santo and sit there and meditate and stare at a tree listening to a bird? This is really not a question for me of which I'd prefer.
You're definitely going to the brunch, aren't you?
Definitely not. It's a hard no for me. I will say,
small talk is tough.
Small talk is fake and draining.
Well, the thing is that like, I'm not going to dinner with someone. If I'm doing small talk, I'm doing it for somebody else. Because yeah. I'm not if I have to go meet one of, not that I don't love his friends and his girlfriends, if I have to go meet Joe's friend's girlfriend or knew this or knew that, like I'm doing that for him. Or like a, you know, a family member or something. But like, other than that, I'm not small talking. There is a point I have to say when I turned whatever age, doesn't matter. My circle got 24 smaller. 24
to 27.
My 24 That's, to
You're on point with what I was just going to say.
My circle got smaller, and not because I'm like, no new friends, I'm so cool. It's more like I literally can't.
I think that this is the issue that I have. So first of all, if you're listening to this and you have like too many friends, like no. You need to like cut the fat, trim the fat.
Some people like live that way though, and they love it.
I am happy for you if you are happy and that is you. For me,
I just wonder deep down, are you happy? Like, are you exerting yourself to so many people?
I don't know. I can't answer that question because I've never been that person, but I can say this, quality over quantity for me when it comes to relationships really matters, because I give 100% to every person I allow in my circle, which means I know what's going on in your life. I'm catching up. I'm sending you an Amazon package just for fun. I'm going to send you flowers on Valentine's Day. I want to know what's going on. I want to be engaged.
Who did you send flowers to on Valentine's Day?
Courtney. I sent her flowers and
the ones you sent me.
Different. Oh, I sent Nicole a bottle of Tinico solution, which is the mop cleaner for Valentine's Day. But I like to be thoughtful.
The what?
Tinico, you know, my mop.
Oh.
I just thought she'd think it was romantic.
Oh. Did she?
She did. She laughed hysterically. But my point to you is this, I like to be thoughtful, right? Like I want to give 100%. So for me, if you're in my circle, if you sit at the table with me, you're in with me.
Yeah.
And that means I'm in with you. And that means I'm going to give you 100% of me. And I can't give 100% to so many people. So I have to be selective with who I let into that circle.
It also means you're cool if there's times I can't give you to 100%. And I think sometimes
what
I said, it also means they're cool with it if you can't give 100%.
Well, that's the prerequisite to being because in that circle.
Sometimes I have different friendships for different reasons. And like, that was something mom used to tell me, is like, she's your fun friend. That's like, maybe not someone that you always like tell your secrets to, but that's someone you have fun with and it's lighthearted and right. this or that. But I think as you get older, that gets older and older, and you want all your friends to be these like reliable people who understand you.
Well, yeah, get 100%.
Like, that was always something I wanted. Like, I wanted my friends to understand me and get me, and I didn't want to have to explain myself for who I was.
Well, I just think that this topic is so relevant on the topic of FOMO versus JOMO, because you're going to have FOMO if your circle's too wide.
Right.
Right? Like, if your circle's too wide and you're committed to so many people, then you're going to think that you're going to go out with all these people all the time, say yes to all these commitments, be a people pleaser, drain yourself, and then wonder why you're depressed, anxious, sad, lonely, or like not focused on your well-being or care or not losing weight or following through on your goals or whatever it is. Look in the mirror. Totally. It's all you. But like, when you start to apply JOMO, I think JOMO is almost an application. It's kind of like you're becoming soul busy, right? Applying JOMO equals I'm becoming soul busy. I'm sacrificing. I'm thinking about how I'm spending my time. I'm thinking about what I'm saying yes to, what I'm saying no to, because the end equation is my well-being and self-care. And
it doesn't mean you're like a bad person. Like, it's joy of missing out does not mean, oh, I'm so excited, I'm not going to see this person. It has nothing to do with that. It's more like you're taking care of you in such a way that other people,
right?
Other people don't even need to know what you're doing.
You're okay. It's, you know what it is?
You know what I mean?
It's standing tall in who you are.
Yeah.
And I think that that ties into confidence. And I think it ties into your identity. It ties into everything we've ever talked about on this podcast.
And it doesn't even count towards your friend groups. I have joy of missing out with, like, Joe will text me when he's on his day off and be like, want to go to dinner on X night. And I'm like, not going on a Friday, not going, don't care. I'll be sitting on my butt.
I love that point because it means you know yourself.
Yeah.
So like, for me, I will never commit to a Friday night activity. It's like, I just know doing that day.
I'll go to a dinner on Friday night if like, it's like a group thing and like, that's the only night people can do. I really hate Sunday activities. Sunday is like my day. I don't hang. And
Sunday is a holy day.
It's a tough day. Like, and I'm sorry to everybody who has like bridal showers, baby showers. I love you all. The showers on the Sundays is so tough for me.
I don't think you need to go to every shower. I don't think you need to go to every wedding. Mike and I made a pact with each other. If we were on the C list or below of the wedding invite to the bride or groom, the answer is no. We are not coming. We thank you for your invitation. It's going to be a no for us.
By the way, the bride and groom doesn't care if you come.
They don't give a fuck.
No one cares. Like,
they don't give a shit.
A lot of the
gift and not call it a day.
100% agreed.
I think that that's important. I mean, I think that people are starting to catch on now that JOMO, you know, JOMO's a thing. They're starting to catch on to what it means and why it's exciting, you know, because it does mean that you get to live a more sound life the more you say no to things. It's just more kind of like unpeeling that onion of why are you feeling it and how can you solve that for yourself?
And like, also, I think people should ask themselves, like, what brings me joy?
Yeah.
Like, what makes me happy? Like, what at the end of, it's Sunday and I look back on my week and like, I'm like, what did I do for me? And the answer is nothing. Then you really need to reevaluate. And it doesn't mean it has to be this big thing. It doesn't have to be like, I got a mani-pedi and I went to Whole Foods and I read this book and I like, you don't need to have like a laundry list. It could be something stupid.
Absolutely.
It like literally the week after my wedding last weekend, Joe was working all weekend and I literally did nothing Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And I didn't feel gross about it.
Yeah.
And I don't,
that's okay.
And I literally don't care.
You need to know yourself and look at the plane. I think one topic we briefly talked about, but I'm starting to think is probably more important here is people pleasing.
Yeah.
I maybe used to have that. I don't know, for like a hot second, definitely don't have it now. I've gotten to the point where if somebody says, can I pick your brain? Can we hop on a call? Can we do these things? If I said yes to every single person, I would have no time. So I have to learn how to say no, right? Yeah. Like, because otherwise I am not protecting my energy and myself. People pleasing and just saying yes is also saying that you're saying I'm not putting myself first.
Right.
Because if you're putting somebody else first, then you're not first, right? So I think the other thing too is like people pleasing. I'm going to even use an example of a phone call. Right? Like friends that talk too long on the phone or take too much of your time or don't pick up on a hint. I've had to also be like, I can't engage in that activity because you're draining me. You know, one thing I really love about Camille is whenever we're on the phone on a FaceTime, we have this thing where I'm like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'm hanging up. And I just hang up the phone and she does the same thing. And we're just like, all right, I'm done with you. I'm moving on. I don't want a big goodbye on the phone. And I don't want to talk to somebody on the phone that I can't hang up on. And I don't want to make plans with someone I can't cancel with.
Yeah.
It's just like that flex. I require that flexibility and that grace if you're going to be in my life.
I'm laughing because I'll text, like when Joe does have those Saturday, Sundays off, I'll text Rachel and Mike and be like, dinner Saturday?
Oh yeah. This is a weekly thing.
No, I'll be like, hey, you guys want to go to dinner like this Saturday? It's like once we're every like, 6 weeks. Yeah. We pick the restaurant. I send it to Mike.
Mike looks at the menu.
He loves the menu. And then literally, I'm going to say like 35 minutes later.
We're like, we're canceling.
We'll send the same text and be like, let's just not go.
Yeah.
And every single time we just like laugh at it. We honestly don't go. Like I would say 9 times out of 10, we probably don't go. But I love that because there's no pressure.
No. Yeah. I agree. And I think double dating is an important topic here too on the FOMO aspect. Like I see a lot of couples that like couple up and they're like, you know, we go to vacation together and people go to dinner together.
I used to get anxious and be like, what if I don't like Joe's friends? And like, I don't want to go, or like with their girlfriends, I don't want to go on vacations with them, or I don't want to, I love them all. But that was something I always got scared of when I would compare myself to my other friends who had like couples relationships, and they would go to the Cape and all be in a house together, and they would go to like Nantucket and they would go to dinner, and I'd be like, I'm a loser on the side of the couch with Joe by myself.
I just don't want to hang out with
other eventually couples. I was fine with that.
When it comes to double dating, I'm not including my friends in New York in this because, you know, they're 250 miles away. I don't have to worry about it. So maybe my situation's unique. I don't know. There's two couples I would commit to double dating with, and you were one of them.
So one.
And mom and dad, and no, I'm just kidding. And then the other couple was my friend Alexis and her boyfriend at the time.
The problem is that this is like seriously true. Sometimes Joe and I go to dinner and we don't talk. And it's not.
That's the thing.
It's not like we don't have anything to talk about. It's more like we're people watching.
No, I think it's a sign of a healthy relationship.
We're reading the menu. He lets me be on my phone if I want to be. Like we don't need to have fake convos.
Beautiful.
Like sometimes like he'll like start the convo and be like, so how was your day? And I was like, how was yours? Like, don't ask me again. Like, I don't know.
Lauren looked at me when I was starting this conversation and she was like, is that just because of where you're at in your life? I have lived a unique life, right? Since the age of 18, I've had to be this adult and sacrifice and do more and achieve more. And it's why we're here, right? It's why, because of all those sacrifices of all that time. I do think that if you have to analyze me from a plane and scrutinize my behaviors over the years to get to a point of success or feeling this sense of flow, it is because I've always felt this way. And that is what is making the activity of being soul busy unique. It's just that I know that if I say no and I'm not sitting in a situation, or if I've said yes and it didn't feel fun and I didn't like it, I don't say yes again.
It could be a version. I mean, obviously it goes without stating. It could be because of where you are in your life.
Well, because it could be because of I had my eye on the prize. It
definitely could be. And I think like
prioritizing,
I think also you like see maybe what your parents see and like what they do. Like our parents were never big drinkers. Not that it's all about drinking.
No, reflecting what you see. I agree.
There's always 5 kids in our home. And
No, Carly, that's like the truest thing you could ever say. Because if you go back in time to Mammy,
Mammy
won't even commit to coming to my daughter's birthday party.
We're like, used to that.
Literally in our bones, in our blood. Like I watch her. She's like, I don't know how I'll feel at that time. So I'll decide that
you
day
do her voice well.
If I'm coming or not. And fuck off. I've learned from mom has her select group of friends, but like, and has a big life, but
she's the biggest canceler I've ever met.
She's the canceler.
And we were so used to that. And that was something I think in college when I was younger and when I was in that stage of my life where like going out was a big thing and like being cool and like Instagram just came out and you wanted to post on Instagram.
Right.
And like, yeah,
I guess that's also part of it is like doing it for the gram.
Yeah, like you want to put your story up and be like, I'm drinking at Stats or I'm drinking at Lincoln or whatever we're doing in Southie or whatever we're doing. Like there were
posting at Stats? You just said do it for the gram. That's the thing.
There were definitely times I was going out to go out.
Lauren just told me I'm old for saying do it for the gram. So you guys can comment on this and let her know that she can fuck off.
Thanks. I agree.
Thanks.
And if we want to do it for the gram. Oh, because
I'm going to do it for the Riz. The Riz.
What is it? The Riz?
What is it? What is this? Yeah, the Riz. That's stupid.
The Riz is stupid.
I'm not choogy.
No, but I think it's just FOMO has to be stages of your life. And as you get more secure in your life and you're able to be like putting your foot down and saying no or saying yes to whatever the hell you want, it doesn't alleviate that fear.
I agree. I guess I could look back in time and say there were like people I would double date with or commitments I would make. I think you have to make those commitments to know how you feel, to know that you don't want them. But I think it's more the decision after the fact of not continuously doing it then, if it didn't feel right, if it didn't feel good, if the small talk felt like a force, if the energy, if you have to say out loud, I'm not excited for what I'm about to do, then don't fucking do it.
It just made me think about this too. When we always say like, it's a blip of time, or like we're only here, like we're not even anything. Like
it doesn't even exist.
We don't exist.
Literally, like, this moment is so small, it's never gonna exist.
You think about that and like the compilation of your life, like, and I think maybe this is a sign of maturity, or as you get older, you're like, oh, I only wanna do things that are like really important. And I'm wondering too if that's like when you have kids, that's definitely even heightened.
Well, I can tell you that I've felt this way for a long time, but when I have kids, I agree with you. Yes, it was magnified.
Cause it's like, you look back at you, Lily's already two. I thought you had her yesterday. I literally said that to Nina. I was like, he's one or he's almost a toddler. Like I thought you just had Des last week. Like right. What is happening? It's like,
well, when you reframe your mind too, to think about your child's only that age for a day.
Yeah.
Like literally that you will go tomorrow and your child is one day older and that day never will have existed again. Yeah. You have to ask yourself, am I willing to miss that? I think moms probably relate more to Jomo now. So I guess there is something to be said here for the scale of age.
I was just going to say that, but then I was going to say, I challenge anybody listening to this. Don't have there be a reason that you picked Jomo.
Absolutely.
Don't have there be a reason. I'm not going to get married and then I'm going to do X less. Or I'm going to do X more, I don't, whatever that may be. Or like, I'm going to stop going out as much or stop drinking as much, or I'm going to journal more. But like,
each individual situation on its own. That's what I'm saying.
Cause it's like, why I hate this about myself. I still sometimes do this where it's like, I'm going to do X for X. It's like, why does there have to be a reason? Why do I have to lose weight for my wedding?
Right.
And to keep this weight off, I've actually been saying to myself, when I eat a cookie or I eat something that I typically wouldn't have eaten, I'm like, you don't need to have a reason to eat this. And you also don't need a reason to not. Like there doesn't have to be a reason.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
For this life or for what you're living or for your choices that you're making.
Well, I think to conclude your point, it's really, what are you feeling?
Right.
Is what you're saying. It's like you're getting in touch with your internal dialogue on, do I want to do this? Why do I want to do this? What will I feel when I do this? And then what will I feel after I do this? You know what I mean? Like, you don't, will it drain me?
You don't want to have kids and then be like, I don't want to do XX, go out with you, go out with this. Like, do it now if that's not something you want to do.
It's an analyzation.
You don't need to have an excuse.
Right.
And I think people should be able to release that. If listening to this makes you feel better, like, you shouldn't have to feel guilty for saying no to something. I used to hate when people would do that to me.
I love that you said that. You don't have to feel guilty for saying no to something. And that ties into being a people pleaser and being okay with saying no when it doesn't resonate with your heart center or your soul's purpose.
Yeah.
The end. Like, it is okay to say no. It is okay to put yourself first. It is okay to be selfish. It is okay to know when something doesn't feel good to you.
Yeah.
You know, that's really the definition of all of this. And like, it's not to say I do have a social life, right? It's a selective social life is what I have. And you know, I plan my social activities. I know when I'm going with my friends. I know I'm going to exert myself. I know I'm going to come back with no voice. I know I'm going to have a night drinking. I know how drunk I'll get. Like, it's just, that's how I work. That's how I roll. It's what my plan is. But like,
it's something you want to do.
It is something I want to do. It is only something I'm accepting. Like, I'll give you an example. Lauren is running the marathon. I'm so proud of her. Like, what a commitment.
It's incredible. Lorna.
Definitely.
Donate to her fund.
She's running on behalf of One Mission, which is close to all of our hearts. And we will include the link so that you can support Lauren on her journey. She just raised a shit ton of money. So
anything counts.
Help her out.
Anything you can give.
But Miss Lorna is someone I love very much. She's a very important person in my life, and she's having a fundraiser this Sunday. And she has tasked me with saying, I'd like you to come to that fundraiser. And I am tormented. Not really, but it's come through my mind where I'm like, I want to be there for her. I love her. I love myself more. I'll always love myself more. It's not selfish. It's not mean, because you know me so well. You know I'm going to support you. You know I've donated. You know we'll give a raffle. It's like, I'm here. I'm emotionally here. Here's what I think about.
But the way she makes her money for the event, we'll just give to her. That's the thing.
Yeah, she's like, just give me the cash. But here's what I weigh out when somebody asks me something that's hard to say no. You know, like, you know, we work together. I don't want to disappoint you. I think to myself, okay, what will it take for me to go? Okay, I'll have to get ready. That's a Sunday. It's going to be a whole day event. I'll have to get the girls ready. I will either...
The girls can't go.
Or I'll need childcare.
No, the problem is that the girls aren't invited.
So
the girls can't
go. Yeah. So now I'm missing a whole day with the girls. So that's one option. Other option is getting ready, driving in, being there for a while. Probably would have fun. Have a nice chicken finger. I would enjoy a chicken finger. I love chicken fingers with honey mustard. It's motivation for me. And then I'm going to come home and I'm going to be tired.
It's going to be 4 o'clock.
It's going to be late. And I'm going to probably get stuck in a little bit of traffic. And then let's say the girls don't come. I'm going to have guilt. And I'm going to be sad that I didn't spend Sunday with them, because I have upcoming events that I'm not going to be with them. And then I'm going to think to myself, fuck, I'm a bad mom. And then they're going to be fussy because I wasn't home all day. Then I'm going to spend the whole night regrouping from their fussiness. And then I'm going to have to go to bed and do extra self-care because I'm going to have to unwind from their fussiness. And then I'm going to go to bed late because I didn't have any time for myself. So I'm going to spend more time scrolling on my phone. And then my Monday morning is fucked. That's the problem. It's not just saying yes.
We could flip
all of it.
I agree with everything you said. And I'm also going to challenge us, because we like to play devil's advocate, like flipping the narrative here. If you did go and you did have fun, because like I can't relate to mom guilt. Then you went home and you were like, I have a little bit of mom guilt, but I had a really good time. I don't think you should go.
I have a perfect answer for you.
Yeah. Do you ever feel that feeling? I'm sure other people feel this feeling of like, what if you did go?
So I just booked my vacations for the year. And the reason I did that is because I get really sad. It's not that I get mom guilt. Like, I feel like I can't be away from my kids. I like to be around my kids. I want to be around them. I want to sniff them, smell them, suck them, love them. I want it.
You're not at that point where you're like, need a break. Like you're...
Of course, no. I definitely need a break, but my breaks are planned, right? So like I just booked my vacation for the year. I time block my breaks. I know when they're coming.
I get what you're saying.
I know when my nails are getting done that I'm not with my girls, right?
Like it's like an in-between. I get what you're saying.
So I already have those times planned, because if I didn't have those times planned and they got coasted over, I'd be fucked. I wouldn't be mentally well.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be a good mom. So for me, what I think about is that's an addition to the things I planned.
Yeah, it's like a blip in your schedule that you don't want.
It's not that I don't want it. I always want to have a little fun.
I'm not even talking about Lauren. Like I'm just saying
no, it's a
general.
Perfect example, but it's just more like...
She's fine.
I'm not worried about Lauren. And my point is that I know I have the other times planned in advance. So this being in addition is something I have to ask myself, how will I feel about being a mom and living in that role if I do commit, you know, or whatever that situation might be. The point of my rant is, are you analyzing all of those details around the event before you commit and before you decide I have FOMO or I have JOMO? Which
and
is
if
it?
You're not analyzing the details and you're okay with it, but then you're that person, like we were talking before, that like wakes up Monday morning and can't get their shit together, then like do better.
So here's the thing.
Do better.
Here is the thing. Monday morning, I know at 6 a.m. I'm at the gym. I never miss a Monday.
Oh, horrible time.
If I know it's actually the best time, because when you're at the gym on 6 a.m. on a Monday, you just started your week in the best fucking way you could start.
I'm really impressed. I'm never going to do that, but I'm proud of you.
No, thanks. I'm not looking for approval. I just want to feel good.
I approve your 6 a.m. workout.
I want to feel good. And the thing is me feeling good on a Monday means I felt good on a Sunday. And that's the thing that you got to understand. It's a hard pill to swallow. If you want it, you can have it, but you got to sacrifice something to have it.
Yeah.
It's pretty much as simple as that.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's true.
It's as simple as that. Like you want to feel well. You know, I knew that I was getting sick this week, so I started fasting. I'm like, okay, I'm not eating. I'm sacrificing food so that I can feel good and boost my immune system. You know, think what you want about it, but it works, right? So I feel good. I'm here at work today. No excuses. I showed up. How about this?
No, I'm honestly think that I didn't get the neurovirus initially because I was like into a 72 hour
100%
fast and had grape juice, which was crazy. By the way, neurovirus is going around and organic grape juice seems to kill it in your body.
God, that TikTok trend is true.
No, it really is true. It either killed it in my body for that time and then Lily gave it back to me. Like either it came back around.
I think she might've given it back to
you. But I really, like Joe never got it.
That's wild that he never got it.
Mom didn't get it. Dad didn't get it.
That's crazy. I wonder.
I don't know.
Anyways, going back to FOMO versus JOMO, I think in conclusion, it's a self-reflection process, right? I have times when my friends all get together in New York and it's not that I don't wish I could be there, right? Like they're all together, I'm FaceTiming, but what I feel inside is not fear that I'm missing out.
Right.
What I feel inside is happiness for them, genuinely. I'm like, oh, having the best night. Love that for my friends. Love that they're enjoying themselves. Genuinely, I mean that. And you know, if I can be there, then I'm excited to participate in the conversation. And if I can't, I know I'm doing something else with my time that's better for me.
But also, you know, I wonder if it would be harder for you if you lived closer to them.
That's why I said I think it might be a factor, but it's a factor I choose, right? Like I have a lot of people here that could be my friend.
I don't think you'd hang out with people even if you lived closer.
I think it's
you have kids, so that would be like different now, I guess.
Socializing with kids is different. Like I was invited, like our friend Allison Stein, like we grew up with her. I love her. She's someone who has recently re-entered my life and she is super respectful of me and my need to say no, which was why she's invited to the party. Like she has a party like for her daughter and she's like, you don't have to come, but if you want to come, would love to have you. I appreciate that. You know what I mean? Like
people tell me they don't have to come. If you're telling me I don't have to come in a negative way though, where it's like throwing it in my face,
well, that's spite.
Then we don't like you.
That person's not invited.
You can't come to the party.
Yeah, no, I think.
Yeah, no, but in conclusion.
Yeah, no. Don't you know?
In conclusion, I it's funny. This episode made me analyze it a little bit more and I'm going to continue to analyze it a little bit more. It's like, if I want to go, I'm going to go. And if I don't, I'm really fucking not going to.
I don't think it ever has to be one way or the other. I will say one recent moment that I literally and figuratively almost puked from thinking about missing out was the morning I woke up of your wedding and I was head in the toilet and
neurovirus.
But I have a point to it is that I was really sick, sicker than I'm led on to tell you how sick I was. Like I could not get my head out of the toilet, was so tired and weak. And I actually thought to myself, I am not going to be able to go to my sister's wedding if I can't stop puking. And I'm flashing in my mind all the things I'm going to miss. I'm like, I'm not going to see her walk down the aisle. I can't get this moment back. I'm not going to see my girls as flower girls. I'm freaking out. Like, I'm like, this is insane. This is the worst case of FOMO I've ever experienced in my life. I somehow deep down in my fucking soul, I don't know, I sat there in the toilet and I regrouped and I was like,
hashtag Zofran.
You will not miss this. You won't, you know, and that will brought me to the point where I was like, I'm going, you know what I mean? Like, I know that this is like not the most applicable example, but it is a moment where I was like,
I refuse to miss it.
I refuse to miss it. And I'm going, I will do whatever it takes to go, you know, it's another version of it, but I felt that recently and it was painful.
Yeah. That sucks.
It did suck.
But like, it's all good.
No, but I made it.
You know, you were there.
I didn't miss it.
You watched the girls walk down the aisle. I literally love those pictures. They were there.
That picture is amazing.
So cute.
They were so cute.
Really cute girls.
One of the viewers asked a question in our poll on Instagram of how do you prioritize what you want to spend your time on?
Or how do you navigate it like in a positive way?
How do you choose, yeah. I guess, is the question. And I guess it was like, I think my answer is probably what's your why, right? Like why would you be saying no versus why would you be saying yes? If you're at a point in your life where socializing is the most important thing, or you're trying to date, or you're trying to meet people, or you're trying to, you know, define your life, if you're in a state of definition, I absolutely understand and think that you should say yes. I'm not saying say yes to everything and socialize all the time. Of course, we need the soul busy balance. But I do think that there is that prioritizing of the why. Oh, I'm a person in my life and I want to date someone. You know, I want to go out. That's my why.
Yeah. There's something funny when we were just listening to that question that I thought of is that like a lot of the times I always felt like I was older than my age number.
Yeah. Same.
And that was always something that like I kind of had to fight with, where it was like I was so excited to get to the next phase of my life, to get to the next phase of my life. I was like, cross that off next, which sometimes is not the best thing or the best way to live, because you're not like enjoying the moment as present. Much.
You're not in the moment.
But I think what I would say to that person is like, if you stay positive and are excited for the next parts of your life, then these things come naturally to you. Then yeah. you're like excited to like move into the next phase. You're excited to get married, settle down, have kids or buy a house or whatever, get that job or start that business or do whatever you said you wanted to do. But if there's like a negative point in your life where you're looking at it like, oh, I don't want to get older. Oh, I don't want to do this. Or
ew, you just like turn me off by that language.
You know, like if you're looking at life that way, then it's going to be harder for you to transition into the things that we're saying, where it's like JOMO and FOMO. It's like, how do you get into those phases of your life? You're kind of just like rolling with it. You're rolling with the punches. You're excited for the new chapters.
I want to say the answer is you're feeling.
Yeah.
That's, you know, real. I think the answer is you're feeling and you know why you're feeling it.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to. Like, I didn't know the businesses were going to turn into, and I didn't know I was going to invent Sleepy Tie. Right. I didn't know I was going to open Parlor. None of those things existed when I was leaving college and had to make sacrifices and not be with my friends. But there was a conviction in my soul, a soul's purpose that I was connected to quietly, whether it was in journal or meditation. A quiet reflection that I did know something was coming for me.
Yeah.
And I knew that if I would say no to something, that I could continue onto something great.
I think it's like, I think the word is like perseverance, maybe. Like, yeah. It's like every day you wake up and you're like, I'm happy with my life. I'm happy with what I'm doing. I'm happy with my choices. And if you're not, then you need to figure out.
You need to put the work in.
You need to put the work in. You need to put, no, you do though. It's not even about putting the work in. You need to decide what's right for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think that there's always going to be phases of the saying yes, the saying no, how social I am and how not. There's also times in your life where I don't think you have a choice to say no. Like, for example, like, let's say you have a series of weddings that require you to say, like, they are all close people in your circle. And then there are serious events you just can't say no to, right? I enter into those phases of my life when I know that I need to attend, that maybe that's the middle ground you were talking prepared. About. Very prepared. Yeah. So like I will embed into those days a time block of self-care so that I know I can rejuvenate, regroup. So I have to even out those levels of socializing with levels of self-care. Yeah. It's a preemptive, productive way of looking at it.
That's definitely something you're good at. I'm not the most proactive in that way. And I think maybe when I have kids, I'll have to like turn that up a little bit more and like plan a little bit more.
I hate to break it to you, but when you have kids, it's harder to turn it up. You turn it down.
I'm going
to
turn it down.
It's a different level of priority setting.
Yeah, no,
it's a character trait that you're talking about. It's not necessarily based on where I'm at in my life. It's just the who I'm a type A. I
don't have that. Me and mom don't have that character trait.
Yeah. I don't think it's a bad thing to not have that.
No, I like the character trait that you have.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we have another viewer question that came in. I'm going to read it to you. It says, I more often now wish I stayed home rather than I wish I went out. Changed with age, late 20s here. This has always been so hard for me. Can you guys share some tips?
Yeah, I have a tip for you. I have a tip.
So she said like she regrets not having said no.
She regrets going out.
This is a harsh tip and it's going to be to get over it. Because
I agree,
like literally get over it. Like I stop analyzing it and like move
on. Hot take, harsh tip.
Yeah. Hot take. This is a harsh tip and it's get over it and move on. Cause like you're wasting time.
I can't sit at the table with someone who's going to dwell on the past. Yeah. I've immediately lost my inability to speak to you, which is another reason I struggle with small talk. If your language is like, I'm not shitting on whoever asked this question, by the way, like, sorry. We love you so much. I'm just, you know, here for you. If you are sitting there and you're like, I wish I did this, I wish I did that, you need to openly shut the fuck up. Because A, the past doesn't exist, figment of your imagination, never happened, doesn't exist. All we have is this present moment. And if you're worried about what will happen next, then you're just anxious and not living in the moment. So really the advice is be here now. And just focus on what you can do now.
And change the narrative now.
Yeah.
Like, stop going out and stop doing it now. And, like, if that was something... You also, like, can't take... You weren't the same person you were 5 years ago than you are now. So what you learned from that 5 years or whatever time frame it is, you didn't know this information.
Well, yeah.
So you can't be mad at yourself for not knowing information you know now.
Well, you can't... It doesn't matter what you did. You wouldn't be the person you are today if you didn't do those things you're saying you regret.
And if someone gave you a magic wand and were like, this will take away all your regrets. You can only pick one. I'm sure that's not the one that you would pick. So I would say move on, be grateful that you witnessed that that was something you didn't like in your life.
Hold on. I was trying to sing Adele. It came out wrong.
We're done with Adele.
Oh, I'm going to Adele.
And that's it.
Wait, what is the song?
Goodbye, Rachel.
Never mind, I'll try. No, find. Never mind, I'll find.
Rock out.
Someone like you.
That was good.
I wish nothing but the best. It hurts. For you.
Well, anywho.
Noah, don't cut this. We love you guys. We thank you for having FOMO from this episode and that you showed up for us. But also, we challenge you to ask yourself, when can you apply a little JOMO to your soul busy?
And not to be confused with Joe Petruzziello, my husband.
Husband!
Rock out.
Over and out. No, you said rock on.
Rock on.
Rock on.